Have you ever asked that question? Who are you? Have you ever said at some stage, why am I here? Why was I born now? Why wasn't I born in a privileged family? Why didn't my dad buy me a Ferrari for my first car? Why was I born here? Why didn't something different happen? Or sometimes you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you go, what is that? Yeah, Penny said it happened to her. I find that hard to believe, but it can happen. Or, you know, with that question of origin, if you like, where do I come from, is an important question. If we don't know where we come from, we actually don't understand who we are, and we don't understand what our purpose is and where we're going. And as we have a confident year, and we talk about having a confident year, it's important that we have a confidence in, first and foremost, who we are and where we come from and what our purpose is and where we're going. And this morning you probably see on the screen there that we're going to talk about confident spirituality. And I want to open that up a little bit this morning and talk about you as a spiritual being. And I shared in last week about one of the ways to perhaps stop a conversation in an Australian pub is to be there with your mates, and you're talking about the footy, you're talking about work, you're talking about a whole lot of things that perhaps are going on, but just to look somebody in the eyes and say, mate, how's your spirituality? You know, the conversation in the most part would just stop like that, and you might find yourself sitting on a table by yourself as people sort of wander off and get themselves in an easier, more sort of friendly sort of conversation. In our country, we're good at a lot of things. I love our country. I love our nation. I love the Australian spirit. I love the larrikin Australian spirit. I love so much of that. But if there's something that I think that we're not good at, there's something that we don't understand very well, it is spirituality. We don't understand what it is to be spiritual. There are so many other cultures that perhaps where people are brought up in that, and they've got a much greater understanding about the spiritual realm and what that's all about. But here in Australia, for some reason, we don't get that very well. And if we can actually push it to one side and sort of put it over there and think, well, that's for the weirdos. That's for people that want to engage in something different. But for me, no, I'm just an Aussie bloke. I don't have to worry about, you know, as spiritual as I'm going to get is going to an AFL grand final. That is going to be the peak, the highlight of my spiritual experience. Now, nothing wrong with going to an AFL grand final. If you've been, great. I'll get there one day. But over the next few weeks and months, one of the things that we want to talk about as we talk about a confident year is confident relationships. And you've heard us talking about confident marriages, confident families, but confident relationships. Now, first and foremost, I think to have confident relationships, we've got to actually have a confident relationship with our God and our Maker. We've got to have a confident spirituality. If we don't start at that place, we're actually starting on the back foot. We're starting behind the eight ball. We've actually got to be bold enough to say, yeah, this year I'm not only going to be confident about all sorts of things, but it's going to actually start with me understanding who I am. It's going to start with me having a confident spirituality. It's about me being confident in who I am. So that question, who are you? I can answer some of that for you this morning. You might think, well, that's a big thing. Dave's going to stand up here and tell me who I am. You know, I know who I am. How can Dave tell me who I am? But number one, who are you? If you want to take notes, write this down. Number one, this is really, really deep. Get ready for it. You're a human being. Number one, you are a human being. I don't see any non-human sitting on the seats here this morning. No aliens, no hybrids, no Australopithecus, no zebras, no giraffes. I actually see human beings sitting on the seat here this morning. Now, you probably in your life have been called other things. You've probably been called things that are not human being. You've probably been called really nasty things like a goose. Or, you know, I know it gets a lot worse from there. But you've been called all sorts of things. But I want to say to you, first and foremost, you're a human being, regardless of what has been spoken over your life, regardless of what's been said about you, you are a human being. Let's have a look in the Word. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to have a look at 26 to 28, and it says this. It says, God spoke, let us make human beings. See, God made human beings. Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and yes, the earth itself, and every animal that moves on the earth. Verse 27, God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and he created them female. God blessed them and he said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, be responsible for the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and for every living thing that moves along the face of the earth. So let's have a look at this. Verse 26, it says, God spoke. And we've already talked in our series about A Confident Year about the fact that God spoke. It says, God spoke and he said, let us make human beings in our image and make them reflecting our nature. Number two, who are you? Number two, you're not an accident. Regardless of whether you might be a biological accident in the small scheme of your parents' family or something like that, but in the grand scheme of humanity, in the grand scheme of a spiritual world and something that unfolds beyond that little realm, you are certainly no accident. Humanity is not an accident. Humanity didn't happen by accident. Humanity happened because God spoke. Humanity happened because God said, Let us create humanity in our image. It wasn't just something that unfolded. It wasn't a result of all the right conditions and a whole lot of accidents that happened to get you here. It happened because God spoke. God spoke. Let us make human beings in our image. See, I'm convinced that you're not here by accident. Science has a lot to say about this process. Science has many theories. It has all sorts of things about that. Now, this morning, I'll say from the outset, I'm not a scientist. I'm not well widely studied on some of those things. Like you, I've read all sorts of stuff, and we all form different opinions on things. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that humanity did not happen by accident. Humanity happened because God spoke. Humanity happened because God, in the unity of himself, actually said, let us create humanity. Let us create humanity in our image. So a confident year actually starts with you knowing that you're not an accident. A confident year starts with knowing no matter what has happened in your life this year, no matter what has happened over the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, that you are not an accident. You are here on purpose. You are here for God's purpose, and he wants you here, and he's got so much more for you to be involved in and be part of. Regardless of what has been going on in your world up to this point, God wants to be part of your future, and he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for your life, and he spoke you into being. Let's bring this back. Let's make it a little bit more personal. Psalm 139 13 says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Psalm 119 73 says, you made me, you created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. I like that. You created me. You made me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. One of the things that when I was growing up, you've heard me talk before about cars and all those sorts of things, but very quickly, myself and my mates and my brothers, we considered ourselves a little bit smarter than the makers of the vehicles that we had. You know, we considered that we knew a little bit more than perhaps the Ford Motor Company, that we could actually make our vehicles go faster, we could make them perform better, we could make them do all sorts of things by actually modifying the vehicles. In other words, changing the way that they were made. And I can remember my dad started to say to us, he would say to us, now boys, when you change one thing, that is actually going to upset the balance of the car and is going to change a whole lot of other things. Now, we were 17, and who knows when you're 17 that your dad doesn't know what he's talking about. So we told him, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. We do. So we are going to modify our cars and we're going to do all this. Now what I found out was the further we got into this, the further we actually found ourselves at times going to the owner's manual to find out how these things actually worked and understand how we could make them work at their optimum. You see, I love this psalm. It says actually give us the sense to realize that we've got a creator who created us, who understands us. Give us the sense to follow his commands. You see, somehow we think there's something about the state of humanity where we think we know better. Just like we thought we knew better than the Ford Motor Company. Just like we felt we knew better than our dad. Just felt like we knew better than a whole lot of things. Humanity thinks they know better. And when we understand that God created us, we've got to go back and say, Lord, give me the sense to actually follow your commands. Psalm 139:16, it says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. God spoke humanity into being, but let's make it more personal. God actually saw you before you were born. Another verse said that he actually saw you and he understood you before the creation of the world. So regardless of how you arrived in this world, whether you arrived in a family where everything was sort of just hunky-dory and wonderful, or whether your situation wasn't quite like that, I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, on the grand scheme of things, God spoke you into being. Before the world began, he saw you. He understood you. He made you like you are. He had a purpose for you. Sometimes you can stand in front of the mirror. I've done this. God, why did you make me like I am? You know, why did you give me these legs? Why did you make me this fat? Why did you do whatever? Why didn't you make me smarter? Why? You see, we only understand this much. God actually has a purpose for you. And he made you like you are for a reason, and he made you like you are for a purpose. And when we can start to understand that, when we can start to accept that, that is where we start to live a confident life, because we realize who we are. And to me, a confident spirituality starts in understanding that God made us for a purpose, on purpose, and that we're no accident. You are absolutely no accident. God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make human beings in our image, reflecting our nature. Number three, who are you? You've been created out of unity. Because God said, let us create human beings, not in my image, but he said our image. There was relationship and there was unity going on here right from the beginning. The Hebrew word used for God is Elohim. Elohim. It's actually one of those ones with a in it, but I can't do that. But grammatically, it's a plural word and it's used as if it was singular. So it's actually, that word has actually got three different tenses in one word. I won't get into all how that works, but right from the beginning, the first words in the Bible, in the beginning, God, in the beginning, Elohim. And it is about relationship. It's about perfect unity. It's about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is right there in the absolute. Now, the Bible, you will not find the word Trinity. So people have talked about this and they sort of find it hard to understand and all that sort of stuff. But just let me simplify it this morning. Did you know the Trinity is God the Father, it is God the Son, Jesus, and it is the Holy Spirit? And you think, well, how can three be one? They are connected, they are joined together by perfect relationship. They are joined together by perfect love, they are joined together by perfect unity. And that is one of the miracles about who God is. That is the thing that we struggle to get our head around, but it is as simple as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are joined by perfect agreement, by perfect relationship, and perfect understanding of one another. And when you were created, when you were spoken into being, it actually happened out of unity. It happened because God said, let us create a person. Let us create Josh Swift. Let us create him the way it is. Let us give him that beard. Let us give him, and actually that's right, he grows that. But let us give him those glasses. No, he's got to put them on. But let us create him the way that he is. Let us create Dave Smith. Let us create him the way that he is. And it wasn't just something that happened out on its own. It happened out of unity. And you know, in a biological sense, it happens out of unity. We know that sometimes things don't work quite that well, and we know that sometimes there are sad things that happen where someone forces their will on somebody else. But in the most part, it takes two people to create somebody, and it is created out of unity. It is created because two people come together and want to create something. You see, life is all about unity. God spoke you into being out of unity, out of intent. We need to get hold of that. We need to get hold of the fact that if we're going to be spiritual people, if we're going to have a confident year, if we're going to be confident in who we are, that you actually were spoken into being out of unity. In other words, you are designed to understand unity. You are designed to understand and experience connection. You are designed to be able to understand and experience agreement. And you know, as people, we're actually so good at disagreeing. We're so good at saying, well, let me tell you my point of view. In fact, you're stupid because you don't see it the way I see it. But you see, there is something amazing about the kingdom of God where we can bring all that together, we can bring all those things, and we can find unity beyond ourselves. We can find unity beyond our opinions. We can find unity beyond our intellect. We can find unity beyond anything that we're going on with. Because why was that? Because you were created in unity. You were spoken into being out of unity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said, let us create Dave Kruver. Let us create him just the way that he is. Let us make him an amazing father. Let us create him just like that. And I could go around every person in the room. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit said, let us create you like you are. You're not an accident. You were created out of unity. All right, who are you? Number four, you resemble God. Number four, you resemble God. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make human beings in our image and make them reflecting our nature. Your parents have given you many things. Some of them have given you all sorts of things. They've set you up in life. Some of them have given you an amazing amount of love and understanding. Some of them have given you all sorts of things. But they've given you DNA, haven't they? Your parents have given you your unique DNA code. And it's a combination of the DNA of your mother, the combination of the DNA of your father, and you get your own unique DNA code. And that actually comes from your parents. So when you stand and you look in the mirror sometimes and you think, oh, gee, I've got this skin and I wish I didn't have this skin. Why? I look in the mirror and I think, oh, why can't I have olive skin, you know, like Sam Towns or something like that? Why can't I have skin that I don't have to put bucket loads of block out on every time I go out in the sun? And thanks, Mum and Dad, for giving me that skin. That was really great. Cool. Oh, I'm with you there. And we think about all those things, but ultimately we are who we are because we've actually been given that DNA by our parents. And it's the same. Humanity has actually got a distinct DNA code that was actually placed in you by God right at the very beginning. You see, you are, believe it or not, you see, common philosophy would actually tell you you're not much different to the animals. That you're only sort of, you know, one step up. And sometimes we see what humanity does to each other out of rebellion, out of selfishness, out of all those things, and we think, well, perhaps we're not. But let me tell you, you are. You see, God has put a special code in humanity. He's actually put a special connection with himself. He didn't, when he made the giraffe, I mean, I think he was having a laugh, but when he made the giraffe, he didn't say, let's make a giraffe in our image and give it a great big long neck and make it awkward and all those things. It didn't do that with any other, even with the most advanced of the apes that appear to be very human-like in the way that you watch them and all that. But God didn't say, let us make them in our image. He actually said it about humanity. He said, let us make humanity in our image. You see, you resemble God. He understands you. You see, you were designed to find God not in a distance, unrelatable. You were designed and made like him. Isn't that amazing? You were made like God. The Bible says, who could understand the mind of God because it's so large? But you see, I think we can understand the nature of God a lot more than perhaps we think we can. We sort of think, well, God is so big, he's so beyond us, and that is true in so many ways. But you see, God's nature has a whole lot of similarities to you because you've got the same DNA from God. You were created like him. You weren't created exactly the same. You weren't created as a divine being, but you were created like God. Like God. So if you're wondering, well, what's God like? How do I relate to him? You know, sometimes you hear blokes say, oh, well, I don't know how to relate to women. I'll never understand women. And you know, why do they say that? It's because they're a bloke and they think like a bloke and they're made like a bloke. And it means they don't quite understand the way that women think unless they read men are from Mars and women are from Venus and then they know it all. But it's, you see, you think like a human being, you think like a man or a woman because that's who you are, that's who you've been made to be. Now you've been actually made in the nature of God. If you want to start to understand what God's like, he's actually a lot like you. He's got a need to have relationship. He's got a need to love and be loved. His heart is moved when he sees things happen. His heart is moved by the plight of humanity. When you turn on the TV and you see a cyclone or you see an earthquake or you see some gross injustice across the world and you find yourself in front of the TV moved to tears, we've actually got a God who is watching over humanity whose heart is being moved in exactly the same way. Why are you moved? Why do you show emotion that perhaps your cat can't show? Because you were made in the image of God. You're moved when you see things. God is moved when he sees things. If you want to know how to connect with God, how do you want people to connect with you? That's probably how God wants you to actually connect with him. He wants you to spend time. He wants you to listen to what he's got to say. He wants to listen to what you've got to say. You see, that's starting to work towards a confident spirituality when we understand that our God has made us in his image and we're made like him. That's how we connect and start to understand what God is like. Who are you? Number five, you're significant. You are significant. There is nobody here that is insignificant. No matter how you feel about yourself this morning, no matter what has happened to you this week, no matter what has happened to you in your whole life, you are not insignificant because you've been called into being by the Almighty God of the universe. That can't be insignificant. You are significant. Whenever words are spoken over you and sometimes you feel like, who's felt like they're nothing? I think we've all felt like that sometimes. We've all been in a situation where somebody has perhaps found a way to absolutely humiliate us and feel like we're squashed down to being absolutely worthless. That is not God's intention, that is not God's plan, and you are significant. Even when your emotions are telling you something like that, I want to say to you this morning that you've only got to open the Word of God and you find out that you are completely and very much significant. God has made you significant. Who are you? Number six, you are spiritual. So even if you are the Aussiest of Aussie blokes, and you don't feel like you're in touch with your spirituality, I want to say to you, you are spiritual. You've got no escaping it. You can't actually say, well, this guy over here, this guy,
you know, I was watching the, there's an ad on TV at the moment, and she's probably been, but there was some girl coming from the UK, and, you know, she says, I talk to people just like you and I, but only I talk to dead people, and, you know, she's a spiritual medium, and sometimes we think that is the spiritual people, that they are the spiritual ones, and we're the ordinary ones. I want to say to you this morning that you are spiritual. And sometimes you say, we hear it said, oh, so-and-so is a very spiritual person. They're actually no more spiritual than you. Regardless of how you feel about yourself, nobody can be more spiritual than you. They can be more spiritually aware. They can be more have more of an idea of what's going on, perhaps in the spiritual realm. They can be more in touch with their own spiritualism, but they can be no more spiritual than you because you are spiritual. And why don't you write that down? I am spiritual. And you don't have to be a pastor or a leader or a medium or anything else to be spiritual. God created you spiritual. You are spirit. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says in John 4, verse 24, it says, "For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." God is spirit. You are not God, but you are like God, and you are also spirit. So to connect with God, it actually happens with two elements. Number one, it's a spirit-to-spirit connection. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 8:26. I know I've given you lots of text this morning, but I this stuff is really, really important. It's so much of this is a foundation for where we want to go this year. That is so important that we understand where we come from. We understand why God made us like he did, and we could talk at length about this, but this is absolutely foundational stuff, and sometimes we actually get so far down the track that we don't come back to some of the basics and understand why we're like we are and where we come from, and it's really important. So in Romans 8:26 it says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays with us with groans that words cannot express." In other words, communication beyond our ability. See, the connection, it's a connection which cannot be articulated apart from through the Holy Spirit. And that might be through the spiritual gift of tongues, where you're actually able to pray in a tongue or another language, and your spirit is able to connect with God. But it's not just limited to that. Have you ever felt sometimes you're in worship or you're in a situation that is really tough, and you don't know what to say, and it's just like, "Oh God, oh Lord." Do you know what's happening at that point? The Holy Spirit is actually what the Bible calls interceding. It's a big word, but it means praying. It means connecting with God on your behalf. In other words, he's actually bypassing your physicality. And the stuff going on in the spiritual realm that you probably don't even understand or know about. But when you want to connect with God and you don't even know what to say, and it's just like, "Oh God." Your spirit is able to connect past your physicality and is able to connect with God. And the Bible actually tells us that the Holy Spirit actually prays on our behalf and allows our spirit to pray in line with the will of God, even though we mightn't even understand in a completely physical sense what that's all about, but it enables us to connect. So many times I've been in situations where I've felt I've got to pray, or I felt I needed to pray for a person or something like that, and I don't know what it's about. And I just start to pray, and many of you have done exactly the same thing, or you just get a quickening in your spirit that you need to think of somebody or even call them, and you start to pray for them. And with me, often I do that, and I've done that, and I forget all about it. I just get on with life and do what I've got to do. And then later on, somebody will say, "Did you know what was happening to me on such and such a day? Do you know what was going through?" And then you go, "Wow, I actually thought of you." And you know it's not from you, because you know you're not that smart. But the Holy Spirit is able to intercede and do things beyond your physicality, beyond the limitations of, like my brain is so full of stuff, you know. You're thinking of this thing and I've got to do this and da-da-da-da-da. And then Alex asked me to get something for the shop and it's so full of other things that I can't remember and, you know, all that stuff. And how can I remember all the things that I've got to do? How can I remember who I've got to pray for? How can I write stuff down? I do all that. But isn't it good to know that we've got a Holy Spirit, God Himself, part of God, who is connected, part of the total unity of God, who on our behalf is actually praying on our behalf and allowing our spirit to connect with God beyond our physicality? Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. It is one of the miracles that God has made you part of. Now, when we come in here on Sunday mornings and we worship, it's not just a warm up for the message. It's not to just sort of soften you up a bit so that I can preach to you or somebody else can preach to you. It is about your spirit connecting with God in heaven. It's about your spirit bypassing the physicality. It's about your spirit even bypassing your soul, which is all the stuff that you carry around. It's the hurt that you had from this week when someone looked at you with a bad look in their eye and you thought, oh, she hates me or he hates me or whatever. All that stuff that we carry around in our soul that will stop us connecting with God. When we actually choose to engage in worship, we actually find that our spirit is connecting with the spirit in heaven and it is bypassing our physicality. And I think it is even bypassing some of our soul. In other words, it bypasses some of our mind that is so full of all sorts of stuff that it stops us connecting with God. You are spiritual. You are spiritual. What I'm talking about, it's not for the spooky, weird ones. It's for everybody. You can all do that. You can all allow the Holy Spirit to intercede on your behalf. Whether you have the gift of tongues or not, and I just encourage you to seek God for that gift. Because it is a beautiful gift that enables your spirit to connect with God. But even if that gift isn't something that you're experiencing, you know, when it's too much, you are spiritual. And all you got to do is say, oh God, oh Lord, I just want to be in your presence right now. I just want to connect with you and allow the Holy Spirit to actually intercede. In other words, pray, talk to God, connect on your behalf and connect you with Him. You are spiritual. Let's have a confident spirituality. The second thing is to connect with God. It's got to be real. It says we worship God in spirit. I've just talked about the spirit. The second thing is truth. In other words, there's no point. If you want to have a relationship with God, there's no point being fake about it. Who knows that if you're fake in your marriage, it only works for a little while. You can only fake it for so long. You can only pretend for a while till you start to get found out. Who knows, in a relationship with your best friend, you can only be fake for so long. And after a while you get found out and people feel betrayed by a lack of authenticity. You see, with God, we've actually got to be truthful. We've got to be real. It's no use going to God and pretending, perhaps putting on this fake spirituality. You know, walking around like a very spiritual person. And actually, I'm so spiritual that I've even gone back to reading the King James Version. Actually, I've gone back beyond that. I only speak in the Hebrew. You know, that's absolute rubbish. Because God wants you to be... I know there's no one here that prays to God in Hebrew. I don't think. But God wants you to seek Him. It says in spirit, in other words, allow your spirit to connect with, and in truth. In other words, be real. Come to God with who you are. Come to God with your situation. Come to God and start to take down the mask and talk to Him about who you really are. Sometimes I think we pray to God in this sort of alter egos thing that we've got, the super Christian. Have you ever found yourself doing that? You know, you come and you've been out there, you've been in the car and you've been sticking your finger up at somebody who's been trying to back into you and you've been swearing out the window. I know you don't do that, but some people do. And the next thing, you sort of come in and you sit with God and you put on your Ned Flanders and you become this alter ego type person where God's saying, I don't want that. Actually, I want you. I want you like you are. Why don't you come in? Why don't you come in with the swearing that you just gave to the person that nearly ran into your car? Actually, it happened to me this week. I didn't swear, I promise. But I was parking my car. This is me being vulnerable. I was parking my car. Oh, actually, it wasn't. I was about to leave in North Hobart. And I was just walking out to get into my car. And this black Mercedes-Benz, and it was quite, my car's black, so they're sort of there, they're quite moulded together. And this black Mercedes-Benz comes to park behind me. And I thought, that's all right, I'll jump in my car and I'll get out of his way and he can have my spot. That's cool. And then he starts blowing his horn, like to get me to hurry up. You know, like, I drive a Mercedes, you drive an Orion, get out of my way. And anyway, I'm thinking, And I had this moment of real humanity. I didn't do it, Joe. I did not do it. But if you know that if you drive an automatic, that you have got to go past reverse to go into drive. And as it was going past reverse, it was all that I could do to stop myself putting my foot on the accelerator. But you'll be pleased to know I didn't do it. And I walked away and I could have been Ned Flanders. It was all right. But you see, God wants you to be real. He wants you to come to Him with everything that you are. And not trying to pretend that you're somebody else, that you're super Christian, that you're anything. You see, you know, what amazes me is that often when people get involved in something that they perceive or they understand through the Bible as sin, which essentially is just disconnection with God. But sometimes when those things happen, the first thing that people do is they stop coming to church and they stop being involved with their Christian friends and they stop that sort of connection. And I think it's because they don't feel like they measure up anymore. And they feel like almost, oh, before I can come back to church, or before I can get to my life group, I guarantee when you're having a bad day is the very time you need to go to your life group. That is the very time you need to be there. If you're totally stuffed up, you don't necessarily have to blurt it all out if that's not the time to do it, but that is the time that you need to be in your life group. That is the time that you need to be in church. That is the time that you need to be speaking to God and telling Him what's going on. But we've got this propensity to sort of think, well, when I get it back together, I can walk into church again and everything will be all right. We've actually got to be honest with God and we've got to come to Him with who we are and what we are and what we're going through and be the real person. Because the thing is, we know that God sees all our stuff. We know that we can't hide it from Him, but somehow we sort of think we can. Do you know what I mean? Like we know we can't, we know that God sees everything, but somehow we think if we put on some sort of front with God, well, it might just actually get like that. You got to worship God in spirit. In other words, it's a spiritual thing, and you got to worship God in truth. In other words, you got to be open and you got to be truthful with Him. Regardless of what you've been going through this morning, we've got to worship God in spirit and we've got to worship God in truth. We've got to be truthful about where we are. It's interesting. Adam, back to Genesis again. Adam, the first man, the perfect man. And then you know the story that God created a woman and God took a rib out of Adam and created this beautiful woman and you know, it was perfect man, perfect woman. And God had said, look, you can live in this amazing garden. I want you to take care of it. And I just want you to enjoy life. And we're told that it was a time where God actually came and walked in the garden. It was like the tangible, I would say, physical presence of God. It was a spiritual thing. And every night that God would actually come and He would walk in the garden with Adam and He'd walk in the garden with Eve and they would talk to one another. And you know, it was just an amazing thing. And then all of a sudden, God comes down to the garden. I don't quite understand how all this works because he's present, but He made Himself known in a tangible way. And He comes into the garden. And Adam, where? Hey, I'm here. It's time for our nightly catch-up. You know, I've been really enjoying this. I've been enjoying hanging out with you. Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? where have you gone? Are you hiding, Adam? Yeah, I'm hiding, God, I'm hiding, Lord. Why are you hiding? Oh, I'm naked, God. Haven't got any clothes on. I better look at myself, and it's not that good, I'm naked. God says, who told you you were naked? Who told you you didn't have any clothes? Who told you you needed clothes? I don't know. I don't know, God. I just sort of know it now. I just feel naked. I feel exposed. I feel shame. I feel like you can sort of see right inside me, and it's awkward. I can't handle this. So I've hidden. Parents with your kids. You know, your kid does something they know is a little bit wrong, and you go to look for them. Where are you? Oh, I'm hiding, you know, and it's funny with the little ones, isn't it? They're sort of hiding half under their bed. You know, they've got their head under and their legs sticking out. Where are you? And now I just picture this a bit like this with Adam. And of course, God could see everywhere, and he's hiding under a tree or something. He's covered himself up with some leaves, you know. Probably got the strategically placed fig leaf, the whole thing going on. And God's saying, where are you? I'm naked. I'm not here. I feel shame. I feel exposed. I feel inadequate. I feel like I can't connect with you anymore, God. Adam started with an intimate, open, honest, spiritual connection with God. When he disobeyed God, when he actually broke the trust that he shared with God, he became aware of his physicality. See, it wasn't so much that Adam became unspiritual. He was still spiritual. In the beginning, he was having this amazing, spiritual, uninhibited connection with God. He never felt naked. He never felt exposed. He never felt shame because there was nothing to be ashamed of. He didn't feel inadequate because God had created him perfect and had a perfect relationship with him. Why would he feel inadequate? And all of a sudden, he broke that trust with God. He broke that trust, and all of a sudden, he feels inadequate. He feels shame. He feels like he doesn't measure up. You know, that is exactly what every single person from then until now has been born into. Been born into shame, been born into inadequacy, been born into feeling don't measure up, being feel like you need to be competitive with somebody else. All those things actually come out of a broken relationship with God that makes us very, very aware of our physicality. And our physicality actually becomes so huge in our mind. We spend all our time worrying about our physicality. And I want to say to you, if you get your spirituality right, that your physicality is able to much better take care of itself. I'm not saying don't go to the gym, don't look after yourself. You're able to do that much better when your spirituality is right, I believe. But what happens is we can become so consumed with our physicality that we don't even get in touch with our spirituality. That's what happened to Adam in the garden, and that is what has happened to every single human being as we've gone on. Yeah, the rest of the band want to join me. It's fantastic. Who are you? Number 7, the last one, is you're responsible. It says this. It says, be responsible for the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. See, the first thing that Adam did after this broken relationship with God was actually say, well, God, I feel shame, I feel inadequate, I don't connect with you anymore, but why did it happen? It wasn't my fault. It was that woman you gave me. In fact, it wasn't even just her fault, it was God's fault because he gave him the woman. If you didn't give me the woman, if you didn't give me a friend, I'd be all right now. I'd be going, I could handle the serpent. I can do that stuff. But that woman, she couldn't do that. And she's led me astray. And now everything has fallen to pieces. Now I feel shame. Now I feel naked. Now I have no connection with you because this woman that you gave me, God made you actually responsible. It says that you are responsible. Isn't this interesting in today's climate? You're responsible for the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves across the earth. Why have we got ecological disasters? Basically, because because we live in selfishness and we live in rebellion and we actually have broken our relationship with God. You are spiritual. And I just want to encourage you this year, if you want to have a confident year, there's a whole lot more I could talk about the spiritual realm, and we might have a look at that in the future. But it actually just starts through when we come back to God, when we reestablish that relationship with God, we become less aware of our physicality and more aware of our spirituality. And you are a spiritual being. See, the Bible is many things. It's a book that contains poetry. It's a book that contains philosophy. It's a book that contains history. It's very much a prophetic book. It's a book that touches on science. But you see, the Bible is about relationship first and foremost. It's about relationship with our God. It's about relationship with each other. It's about perfection, and it's about destruction of that perfection. But most importantly, it's about restoration. It's about a God who loved humanity so much that his grand plan was that you were always going to be able to be restored with God. That is why he sent his son Jesus. That is why God himself. That is why that son who is the perfect connection in the Trinity actually came to earth and actually dealt with your rebellion, dealt with all that stuff, was able to deal with your shame, was able to deal with your inadequacy, was able to actually make you a spiritual person, a physical person, a person who has soul, a confident person. Not because you're confident in yourself, but because you're confident that you can actually come into the presence of God and you can have connection with Him, and He understands everything about you. He's got a purpose for you. He's not going to leave you. He will always be with you. Let's stand. We just bow our heads, close our eyes, just as we close the service. Anna so beautifully talked to us in that moment of worship. That moment where perhaps for you it was becoming a little bit less aware of your physicality and you felt like that your spirit was actually going somewhere and it was connecting. It was connecting beyond your physicality. It was connecting beyond here. And Anna said that the way to do that is just to say, Jesus, I acknowledge you. I thank you that you're the Son of God. And I want you to come into my life right now. I'm going to choose to follow you. I'm going to choose to open myself to you. I choose to know that there's no other way I can be connected with God except through you. If this morning, maybe you prayed that prayer when Anna was speaking to you early in the service. Maybe you just felt like you opened yourself up to God. Or maybe you want to do that right now. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, why don't you slip your hand up and say, that's me, Dave. I've made that decision this morning. I've decided that I want to connect with God. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, that's me. That's me. I would love just to pray with you and we can speak to you and we can encourage you in that decision that you've made, the most important decision that you can possibly make, to say, yes, Jesus, I need you in my world. I need you in my life. I want you to forgive my sin. I'm sorry. I thank you for dying for me. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Say, that's me, Dave. I made that call this morning. Okay. Praise God. As we finish this morning, I really want us to get a hold of the fact that we are spiritual. That we're going to connect with God in a spiritual way. As we worship together, there's something amazing that we can do when we stand together and we worship. But this week, decide that you're going to connect with God in spirit In other words, you're going to realize that you are much more than the frame that carries you around, that you are spiritual and your spirit was designed to connect with God, and you're going to connect with Him in truth. In other words, you're going to be truthful about your relationship with God, regardless of where you're at and what you're going through. If as we finish, if you would like to stand and have somebody pray for you this morning, anything that's going on in your world at the moment, we would love to do with that. But let's just make sure that this week we start to step into a confident spirituality, because you are spiritual. Regardless of how unspiritual you feel, you're created on purpose by God and you are spiritual. Let's worship our God together this morning.